A reading is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We have all seen footprints in the sand. People prints, seagull prints. Where the sand is dry, they are not so distinct, and the wind is already blowing them away. Where the sand has been damp, the prints are sharp, but the tide will come in again and smooth the area out. I remember once coming to a beach that seemed untouched. It was as if nobody had ever been there before. Mine would be the first human footprints. But then, a cigarette packet, a bottle top, plastic bag, a drinking straw, a drink can, not so untouched after all. They talk about footprints in the sands of time. A nice statement about the impermanence of all that we do. But when the footprints are gone, the litter remains. In the play Julius Caesar, some of us may have studied that at school a long, long time ago, Shakespeare had Mark Antony saying, "The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones." Many people are determined to leave a mark in the world. You might see this mark carved into soft stone, or tree trunks, or painted on fences. Messages like, "John was here," "MK loves JS." Don't know about you, I've wondered if they still do. These days it may be the work of a spray can on a vacant wall or railway carriage. Anywhere, in fact, that seems to invite the graffitist to make a statement for the rest of the world to see. Now, in September 1997, Mary Gonska Bojaxhiu died at the age of 87. We know her better as Mother Teresa, of Calcutta, who founded the Missionaries of Charity. Members of the order take four vows on acceptance by the religious community, required in addition to the three basic vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, is a fourth vow, pledging service to the poor, whom Mother Teresa described as the embodiment of Christ. In a 1974 interview, she said, "I see God in every human being. When I wash the leper's wounds, I feel I am nursing the Lord Himself. Is it not a beautiful experience?" The community at present includes about 5,750 sisters of various nationalities who work on five continents. She certainly made her mark in the world, and in 1979 received the Nobel Peace Prize. It is said that she told Prince Michael of Greece, "The other day I dreamt I was at the gates of heaven." And St. Peter said, "Go back to earth. There are no slums up here." What an amazing lady. God has left His mark. He created this world, and everywhere there is evidence of His existence in His created work. Writing to the Christians in Rome, Paul said, "Ever since God created the world, His invisible qualities, both His eternal power and His divine nature, have been clearly seen. They are perceived in the things He has made." And that is the message of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens, makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. This is God's world. He created it. It reveals His glory. It shows what He has done. Prior to his death in 1984, Paul Dirac was called the world's greatest living physicist. His pioneering discoveries led to the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1933 and led to the study of quantum mechanics. Some called him the equal of Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein. At the age of 30, he became the youngest person ever to hold a professorship at Cambridge University. When Dirac was asked once why gravitational forces were getting weaker, he responded, "Why? Because God made it so." Dirac insisted that science and religion were not at odds. Rather, they are both seekers after truth. Dirac believed that God used beautiful mechanics to create the world. Just think of that. That's a physicist talking, isn't it? Beautiful mechanics. Beautiful, but not simple. My theories are based on faith that there is reason for all the numbers nature provides us with. The created world speaks volumes about the presence, the greatness, the majesty, the power of the Creator God. There is sufficient evidence out there, so those people have no excuse at all. Paul writes, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." So people are without excuse. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds, and animals, and reptiles." But God is personal. His revelation is not just seen in terms of his creation. God's great desire is to build a relationship with the human beings that he has made. John's Gospel begins with the affirmation, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God has revealed himself to those who are ready to receive him. Historically, that revelation came through the Hebrew people, through their history and prophets, but then at God's right time, through Jesus, the Son of God made flesh. God has made known his character and purposes, his standards of right and wrong, his redemptive acts, his call for people to repent and believe the good news of his Son, Jesus. The psalmist goes on, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. We live in a sad and troubled world, assuming all too often that we know better. We make up our own rules, or even just the Lord's to our own preferences. We make up and worship our God, who will never, so we think, judge us for our diversion from revealed truth and his revealed standards of right and wrong. What do you do when the engine of your new car is behaving erratically? You put it in the hands of a representative of the maker, someone who will be guaranteed to tune it to the maker's specifications. That is our need too. Not to adjust the specifications, but to submit to the forgiveness, correction, and change of divine grace in our lives. The psalmist ends with the words, "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Why do we want to leave our mark in this world? Who gets the credit, us or God? Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." In other words, our lives are supposed to be a mark for God. All over the place there is evidence of the work of the Creator. God has left his mark. The human race has spent too much of our time disfiguring or ignoring God's mark. At his right time in history, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus. Our representatives at that time thought to get rid of him by having him nailed to a cross to die. He died all right, died for our sins, died so that sinners could be forgiven. On the third day, God raised him to life again. Yes, he really is alive. Have you accepted for yourself the good news, the forgiveness and new life that Jesus died and rose again to bring you? Now is the time to say sorry for living your life without him, and to tell him, "Jesus, come into my life now and forever. You are my Saviour, Lord, and friend." I'm going to repeat that. I think it's important for us. Have you accepted for yourself the good news, the forgiveness and new life Jesus died and rose again to bring you? Now is the time to say sorry for living your life without him, and to tell him, Jesus, come into my life now and forever. You are my Saviour, Lord, and friend. We'll pause for just a moment to think about that. Now listen to his call to us all. Will you be a mark for God where you live and work by all you have and are? Will you be a mark for God where you live and work by all you have and are? Let us learn to pray with the psalmist. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's repeat those words together. They're up on the screen for you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.